Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our show, the New England Christian Baker Psychic Hour. It's Wednesday, and we are here to take your calls. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please do press 1 to speak with us, because that lets us know you're in the queue. It raises your hand. How fun. And let's see what else. Ah, of course, we would love it if you joined us on our social media sites, X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, those social media platforms, and our pages can be found on our Blog Talk Radio homepage, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic, where you may follow us as well. So, and I am doing a fundraiser in October. I'm walking 62 miles for the American Cancer Association. So, if any of you feel inclined to donate, it's obviously to a very good cause. And normally we donate, the American Cancer Society, not Association. American Cancer Society. Normally we do fundraisers. When we do them, they're usually for animal charities. However, we're doing a cancer fundraiser this time for human beings. So we would really appreciate your support and donations. And anybody that wants to join me on that 62-mile walk in October.
In addition to that, I volunteered to walk actually 2 miles in the Astrodome. So that's a grand total of 64 miles.
And that's a significant number for us.
Yeah. So now that you've all caught your breath, you can also make a donation as you see fit.
Yes, as you see fit. Okay, so... actually, Jennifer wants to speak with us. I don't know. Are we getting 30 lashes with a wet noodle here? We're not starting on time?
Yes. No, it's okay. Sometimes it takes a little bit. Hello.
Hi. How was your trip?
Hi. To Vegas, it was good. The two people that met up with us ended up with COVID, so that was great. And the entertainment was good. I saw Awakenings as a Cirque du Soleil show. There was a private magician's thing. It was great.
Did you eat good food?
I have a
good food. I know you have
the best.
We have time, so we can stretch it out here.
Oh, okay.
Good food.
All right. the food was fantastic. We went to a place, I know you're vegetarian, but they always have vegetarian options. There was one place that wasn't so hot, but it was a very nice environment. It's called the Library at the Nomad Hotel. The interior of it was fantastic. The food, not so hot, but you might have liked their popovers. And where else we went to a place called Delilah's, which you'd love the interior there too. It's great. They have, swing time bands that come out and play as well. What was the other place we went to that was really good? A place called Mizumi, which is sort of Japanese based. That was very cool as well. So we went to a few very good places.
you asked about gambling. I mean, did you gamble a lot? I don't know if you do, like, do you do blackjack or just slots?
I play this game called Ultimate Texas Hold'em, but I'm not particularly good at it. It's a type of poker. Like, it's a table poker. Yeah, it's a type. But I'm not a poker player, so it's more like a table against the dealer kind of thing. And I ended up breaking even only because my boyfriend gave me the money that I'd lost back because he won. So that was fine. And, you know, I played some slot machines, which, you know, I'm oddly lucky at just picking one out, putting money in, winning and walking away. So, overall, okay. I did lose. But he paid me.
I did lose. Well, she asked about her dream, the moat and the crocodiles. And we were saying, well, if you wanted a moat around your house, normally crocodiles would be a bad sign. But, well, maybe they were a bad sign for you in terms of that. How much did you lose? Right. Like 300, 500?
Exactly 300. Yeah.
Exactly 300. And that's your day.
So your guess was correct.
Ah, okay. My guess.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So go ahead with your question, dear.
All right. So I have a friend. She's called into your show before, and she shares the same birthday as my sister. And she asked me to go to her friend's place this weekend, which is about 2 hours away.
What's her birthday?
Her birthday is September 26th, and, I can't remember the year. I think she's 52, maybe 51.
Okay. She would be born
my sister's
73 or 1974. Well, she's going to have a birthday.
Yeah, that makes more sense. I'll find out by the end of this call.
It would help.
But my sister is 1974, September 26th.
Okay.
So this is her 50th.
Okay, it's your sister's 50th birthday that you're going to?
Well, no.
I'm confused.
That's part of my question.
Okay.
So my friend asked me to go away for her birthday. She's in town. She's moved far away, but she's here for a month. And, her birthday is 1972.
Okay.
So she's September 26th. My friend, 1972.
It makes a difference. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So she asked me to go first away for her weekend for her birthday. And I agreed. I had nothing else going on. I said, she's in town. I'll go. Then I got an invitation after the fact to go to my sister's. They're having some 50th birthday for her, but that's 5 hours away.
Okay.
So being intuitive, I thought I would check internally to see which one, because my brain doesn't necessarily have a preference. My brain would just rather stay home. So that's what I'd rather do. But my one friend understands if I can't go to hers, and my sister doesn't even know if I'm going or not. But my son wants me to go to my sister's because he's closer, like he's about an hour and a half away, and wants me to go with him to my sister's. So, but I checked to see what resonated with me. I got a very strong physical reaction to the going further to my sister's, but it wasn't positive or negative. It was just a strong physical reaction, and I couldn't really determine if that was an answer because I still feel ambivalent toward all of my options. So I'm calling in to see if there's a better choice for me. Also, to go to my sister's, I'm going to have to rent a car to go there because my car's very old and I don't trust it.
So you're going to have to rent a car. So, I mean, psychically, the things that would be, you know, important would, if we saw you getting into an accident on the way to either one, I'm not really feeling like there's any danger zone particularly. Are you, Neil?
Well, the physical feeling you have is probably rooted to your first chakra, and that is probably rooted to the pull of being with family. And if your son's requesting it and it's your sister's birthday, my suggestion is to go to your sister.
Yeah, this is
because, not... There's something, you know, that's blood energy, and there's no great animosity. You don't have big issues, you know, outstanding big issues. So to be supportive of the son, because you see, if you don't go, you're letting down two people, and that's family, and the relationships within that family are okay, as opposed to letting down another person who isn't family, who's already prepared for you to say no, and you have a perfect excuse. You know, my son and my sister want me to come out, and it happens to be the same day. Your master numbers together with your sister would be an 8, which is part of your year, 1970. But, you know, it's just one psychic opinion based on... Kind of a logical approach as well as some kind of interpretation regarding your statements. So I would, my vote is to see your sister.
And I feel like I'd be doing that for my son, not necessarily her. She hasn't visited me where I live in 10 years, so I'm
well,
not.
What, if your son was in the bed, you'd be a different story. But because when you told me about your son, I kind of, my heart energy kind of increased. So I thought, you know, there's something deeper going on about bonding and being there. You don't want to disappoint your son if you don't have to. And to kind of neglect that, to go to a friend's house for their party, or to just say, I'm staying home. Well, just staying home. Common denominator in this circumstance would be kind of selfish, but that's, you know, you have a right to be selfish. To go to your friend's house would be kind of neglecting your son's request, because he has a plan now. He wants to go with you, and that forms some kind of bonding. And I wouldn't mess with that if I were you.
Okay, no, that's good. That's what I needed to hear, because I would be going for him.
Well, that is, that's, I mean, if I would have continued on, I would have said the same thing. I mean, it's not psychic, but it's an opinion.
That makes a lot of sense, because your son gave you a lot of physical feeling when he was
born.
Yeah. So there's a tugging there. And I think that physical feeling is maternal.
Good. Okay. Well, no, I'm happy that he wants me to go with him. So, you know, that's some parents don't have that. So that's good. I should take advantage of that. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's really helpful.
I wouldn't damage his emotional state.
When's the last time you saw your son?
Actually, very recently. He just popped in for the weekend, but I didn't know he was coming. So I only saw him a couple times, but he had other things he had to do anyways. But before he left, he said he was
a little advanced. Part of the interview.
You mean a lot to him, Jennifer. You mean a lot to him.
I got that feeling this weekend. Yeah, I got that feeling from him.
You got the feeling that he is bonded to you and misses you while he's away at school.
Yes. Yes, and he's not really an expressive kind of person, so for me to feel that, it's, you know, I'm more touching into his soul than I am his expression. So,
what's his birthday?
He is February 28th, 2000.
Well, together you become an 11. But that 11 is incorporated in your sister's birthday. She's a 38-11. So.
30-11 too.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's where I stand on it. I don't know if you agree, but.
No, I have the same feeling. I mean, this is a family relationship. This, your son, I think, predominates the whole question that you're asking. I mean, your sister, it sounds like your relationship with her is not, maybe you're closer with your friends than you are with your sister, possibly. But because your son is involved and it's event, it's something for the two of you to do, an activity, an event to go to, I think it's a nice idea to go together. I understand you wanting to stay at home, too. I mean, I definitely understand that.
Jennifer, your son's, the months are 2 and 4, and that's your karmic number, 24. And you have a 3 in your day, and he has an 8, and that's your sister's number, 38. And since you got a physical feeling, that has to do with maternal energy from birth or before birth. So there's something, in spite of your son's lack of, adequate conversational skills, he's not that expressive, there's something going on inside, and this is his way of saying, I want you to join me, I want to be with you. You know, it's the only way he can express it right now.
Okay, that's good. No, I feel like I should be spending some more time with him too, so. He's doing well on his own, but, that people need, love and attention, and sometimes it's hard for them to get it.
Yeah, it's weird because it's free and people act like it's so costly. But, sometimes it's costly to the ego. It's costly to the emotional state and what a person is able to give as well as receive. People who give a lot, they actually receive a lot because they get gratification out of giving. They feel good.
Which means that there are people that give a lot are actually totally selfish.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
good luck. Have a safe
thank
drive.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll rent my car now.
Maybe it's time to buy a new car. Huh?
It really is time to buy a new car. It's I bought this one on impulse, but that was in 2013. So I'm missing the back bumper. And the light keeps coming on, indicating that there's something wrong.
Yeah, you probably should. You probably should get a new car. That's kind of
Is
you
that a new
fix
thing
it or
they do they still bumpers?
No, she probably got new.
When something's so old, do you really need to replace the bumper?
I've never heard. That's new to me. I've never heard a mechanic say, well, it's time to replace your bumper. It's
They do if you drive your car into a tree.
Actually, haven't you seen all those bumper replacement shops that that have cropped up recently? Bumper replacement. $99.99.
You're at 10,000 miles. Time to replace your bumper.
If it's your bumper, how in the hell did you run into a tree and destroy your bumper? That would be your front bumper. Is this your
she
front
backed,
bumper?
She backed into it?
No, it was. I backed into it, and it was the very strangest thing. It was like, I don't even know. It was winter, so of course there was snowy. But at the same time, I was headed straight back, and I really hit the tree hard, and it's in my driveway. I was completely sober. I have no it was very strange the way it happened, and then it came off. Well, only half of it, so.
Well, half of it? You have half a bumper?
I've got half a bumper, yeah.
Time for a new car.
You know, cars actually allow us to be omnipresent. And what I mean by that is you can look forward and see what's behind you. So, you know, whether you made use of your rear view mirror, which is actually in your front view, why they call it a rear view is because you get to see your rear while you're looking at your front. I mean, listen, you know, it's I mean, we're starting to figure out that this has something to do with contortion or some new position that Masters and Johnson didn't come up with. But you have to understand that, driving is an occupation. It's not leisurely. You don't text, you don't. Driving demands you watch the road. You're looking at all times to the left, to the right, in front, behind you. If everyone drove that way and drove under safety conditions, we'd have no accidents. There would be no accidents unless the deer jumped out in front of you or something.
A darling.
But,
or a darling
but
jumped out
no
in front of you.
Accidents occur because we don't observe not only the rules of the road, but the rules of driving. So to me, you know, driving is an occupation. When I don't drive that much, but when I drive for the few short distances, I'm on red alert. When I cross an intersection, I'm on red alert.
You've never been in an accident.
Never been in one. And I've avoided accidents that could have been horrible. So, you know, it's, to me, driving isn't a pastime. It's an occupational hazard that's constant.
Well,
and you got to really pay attention.
May I say something?
But backing into a tree is kind of stupefyingly ignorant. I mean,
it's something I would do. That's why I,
you know,
I understand.
I'm
not behind a wheel.
Because, you know, you can pull out of a parking lot and a car can whiz by and you slam on the brakes. I mean, it's common that these things happen. But it's not the idea that you're a bad driver. It's the idea of being cautious, paying attention, and knowing you have a brake as well as you have a gas pedal, and then you have your brain operating at all. To keep your mental state strong, Jennifer, concentrate on driving. It's a wonderful mental exercise because it's a matter of life and death in the end. When you get in that car, it's either a deadly weapon or someone's going to kill you. And every time you get in the car, that's what the conditions are. So
thank you for that element of fear.
Yeah. It's a healthy fear. More people die on the highways than all the wars put together.
But what I want to say about people that drive as a pastime, people that drive as a pastime, because there are people that do drive as a pastime, I would say those people are also very cautious when they drive because driving is their pastime. So the problem, people who are just driving and not really putting a lot of thought into it, you know, they get behind the wheel and they want to get from point A to point B. Those are the people that are not so careful. But if you're driving as a pastime, you know, you probably have a really nice car that you want to take out on the road for, you know, a long drive on the coast perhaps, and you're probably very careful driving.
Well, you know, a lot of commercial truckers and people who have businesses, you know, they'll have a sign on their car, how am I driving? And they have a phone number. They don't say, how am I texting? They say, how am I driving? And they give a phone number. And those people, if they get a violation, they could lose their job immediately. So more or less you're losing your life.
Yeah, there was a horrible accident with a trucker. I don't know, it was a couple of years ago. Do you remember that? It would like stop the whole freeway and the guy was stuck in the cab. Did he die? He had to be pulled out. It was horrible. Anyway.
Now, if you're renting a car, check the brakes, check the oil.
check the bumper.
Check the company and say, has this car been checked? You know, has it been thoroughly examined? You know, my life is in its operation. So just don't, people when they rent a car, they just assume it's been checked, but you know, there's sloppiness going on everywhere. But that's what it should be, Jennifer.
Thank you. That is very good advice. And I like to think that I'm a fairly cautious driver, but at the same time, there is something else that I backed into before, so I'm not very good at backing up.
You know, I just watched a video about how to parallel park. I don't know why.
Oh, I'm good. I'm very good at parallel parking. I'm excellent.
Yeah, I'm good at it too. I'm good at parallel parking. But, I mean, in that regard, you're backing up. So, you know.
We know, you know, literally, observe the rules of the road. Observe the speed limits, or it says, or go with the flow of traffic. That means that you have to sometimes evaluate by the measurements of safety. A precaution, how you should be driving. And the roads constantly change. It's like a riptide. Someone pulls in front of you. Suddenly there's a roadblock that you don't see 200 feet in front of you. You've got to be prepared. Your foot should have a brain that is well aware that there's a brake pedal and how much distance you're going to need before, because it's terrifying to be in an accident. And it's terrifying to approach being in an accident, thinking, am I going to make it in time? So you can avoid those things, especially the way people drive in and out, driving faster than you should be driving.
Well, it's crazy here. I don't know what the situation is in Canada. I know you're on the border, so you cross into the United States, and probably driving in Detroit is pretty crazy too. But what's Canada like? I mean, LA is really, really bad.
I was driving in LA, and it is very terrible. But the person that I was driving with blew a red light, so that's probably part of the problem. But Swory was a good driver. We all were grateful we didn't die. In Canada, it's not, it depends on if it's rush hour. People are usually pretty courteous about letting other people in. Detroit, not so much. You know, they all like that zip merging. But in theory, in Detroit, people won't do it. Sometimes in Canada, they won't do it either. But it makes more sense just to keep the flow of traffic going. Our infrastructure is a little bit better than yours. I've seen some of the worst on-off ramps in the world in Detroit. It's like someone comes off and then it goes right back on again and you can't get over. It's just, it's terrible. So they don't make it easy for people to be good drivers in the States. So.
Yeah, the design systems are still getting off and on. But one of the most fatal flaws of driving is trying to race a red light. You know, we get impulsive. We see that yellow light, and we race. And sometimes we go boldly through a red light. That's potential murder. It's not worth it. And what you usually find, and it's true, and a cop will tell you this, you know, stop at the red light, because by the time you get to the next traffic signal, you're going to see all the cars that were able to avoid the red light. It's geared that way. So, and you know what? A minute delay is not worth the life of someone, including yourself. So, you know, fight your impulses. Don't race red lights. You said your friend ran a red light. Idiot. Don't do those things. You just don't know. And God forbid you kill somebody.
Truth. All right. I won't have any red lights.
No, but do fix the bumper or, I don't know, do something with that car.
Well, yeah.
Funny because, you know, I bumper every night of the week, so I don't know.
Will you please? You're the fucking disgusting. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Where is your mind? Mr. Spiritual, what did you say?
It makes me think since there's been so much abuse, maybe she should change her bumper, all right?
Jeez.
Yeah.
What kind of show is this? the Arabian Beach show. Now I have to use the F word, and you know, we're talking about, you know, private moments, which
memes
are
don't make it in, but sometimes they do.
Okay. Anyway, moving along. Well, thank you for your call. Glad you had a nice trip, and I hope you enjoy your time with your sister and your brother and all the other attendees of this wonderful gala you'll be attending.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye. Well, it's just you and me, babe.
Yeah.
And actually,
don't say that. I don't want to be Sunny in this case.
I know. Well, it sounds like that, right?
He got bumped too. He wasn't looking where he was going.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
And he hit a tree.
Who knew? Who knows what happened with him? So. Yeah, people get killed. You don't know. Running into a tree skiing. Anyway, it sounds fishy to me.
Well, that's not on the course usually.
Yeah, what was he doing? Exactly. They don't have trees in the middle of a slalom or whatever you're doing.
Are there rules in the astral realm? The question now we could say is, are there traveling rules in the astral realm?
Well, unless, you don't drive in that or walk in the astral realm or run. You were saying you're going to do your astral realm run. You know, it's more like flying because you're without your body. Is there traffic, air traffic control rules in the astral realm?
Yeah. Because the astral realm is separated by different parallel universes. And there is a certain freedom to the astral realm because once you're in your astral, out of your body, physical body in your astral body, it's like, well, put it this way. Are there rules to flight when a bird is flying? No, there's no really rules. They fly all over the place. But they can hit a windmill. They can hit a window. They can hit a solar panel. There's different things that can happen. They can hit a car. So just because there's freedom, if we use that analogy, just because there's freedom of astral flight, it doesn't mean that you can be impaired by an obstacle. And there are obstacles in the astral realm that could be hazardous, not to the physical body, but to the astral energy. Sometimes when we wake up in a jolt, not all the time, but sometimes when we wake up in a jolt, where our astral bodies have been flung back into our physical bodies like a screeching brake. Something challenged the astral body, and the astral body made like a cat, a sheer darting energy back into the physical body. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's lack of sleep or chemistry level or something like that, or breathing level. But those jolts in the night that when you jump are oftentimes because the astral body was in some sort of predicament or violation. People die in their sleep.
Yeah, the worst thing is not the jolt of being awoken, but being trapped between the astral realm and the physical realm. I mean, when you're awake and can't move,
that happens
to me.
Because you wake up while the astral body is coming back into your body, you wake up too soon. When you wake up too soon and the astral body is making an entry back into the physical body is locked in place because the astral body is blocking the physical body from moving back. That's the astral explanation of that. A doctor may give another explanation there's a certain word for that, locked.
It's called sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis. You know, that I'm sure there's medical explanations, but we're not a medical show per se, we're a psychic show.
So sometimes it seems like we are a medical show with all these questions we get about
Well,
medications and physical conditions, so on and so forth. But anyway, no, we are not licensed physicians, and we are not authorized to give medical advice legally.
Medical center, TV shows, they're not really doctors, but they act like they are.
We're both psychics and doctors.
Yeah.
So
in the astral realm, are there rules and regulations? Well, I mean, there's not a handbook. And, when you leave your body, you don't have a spirit there saying, now let's go over the rules while you're going away. But there is a precautionary sense of astral journey. It's just the way it is.
May I say something? We've talked about astral journeys that either of us have had. And I recall several occasions where you've been in the astral realm and encountered people that have tried to take you into certain areas.
Yeah.
And you've said, absolutely no, I am not going into that area.
Yeah.
I'm not going into that area. So that would be an example of a rule in an astral realm. Don't go into areas that may be perilous to your physical body because you get stuck.
It's the same. I mean, the analogies, you're hitchhiking and some guy with his zipper unzipped says you want to ride.
Well, you have to always bring it.
God,
is your zipper unzipped today?
I don't have a zipper.
I don't know. Well, anyway.
But, you want some candy, little girl?
Right.
There is a common... When you're in the astral realm, there are demons in the astral realm. There are dark energies, not just energies, but there are deadly entities, dark entities in the astral realm. It's what's so amazing about that? There's deadly energies in the ocean, and there's friendly energies in the ocean, and relatively you don't run into deadly energies. And if you do, you use precaution. So... it's the same thing, but the lure, when you go into the astral realm, there are spirits and entities there that know exactly you're a human being astral projecting. And if they have nothing better to do but to torment or to tease you or to play with you as much as they can, they will. They're not friendly to human beings. And it's like, entering a gang's territory. You're an invader in their space.
Space invaders.
And
video game.
And you can get hurt. It's kind of tragic, the story about the bear in Yellowstone.
We have to do this.
Eating off the picnic tables.
No.
And it swiped at a woman, and they end up killing the bear because it swiped at the woman who was actually invading the bear's territory and leaving food all over the place. So, it's the bear intend to harm that woman? No, and it probably could have killed her if it wanted to. But in the astral realm, there are entities that are hostile, and you're actually entering. You're not even a spirit. You're an astral body that belongs to a living human being. You're not really an inhabitant of the astral realm. You've got to remember, we're inhabitants of the planet. We're visitors of the astral realm. We don't live there. We travel there, and we've got to respect the rules. It's like any, small southern town. You don't want to...
Small southern town.
Mad at a sheriff, in certain circumstances. And that goes for big cities, too.
Yeah.
Not just southern towns. It can happen in northern towns. It can happen in Oregon.
Watch our listenership drop. We've lost the whole South.
Well, it's stereotype.
Yeah.
I mean, the southern towns are also very hospitable, and they're very friendly.
There's
a certain warmth to the southern comfort and warmth that the
northern comfort
states
warmth.
Don't have.
I'd like some southern comfort warmth right about now.
Yeah, well, there's a Gallo wine there.
That'd be more your style. Okay. anyway, getting back on track, we have 17 minutes. I posted the show on our other pages, so maybe we'll get some calls. Sometimes I forget to do that.
You know, a caller wrote in and said, "What's all this business about you being the most popular show on Blog Talk?" Well, let's address that. Yes, we were rated number one. We're rated number one on Blog Talk. We are the number one psychic show on Blog Talk. Now, nationally speaking, we get bombarded
with
emails. And letters from France, Germany, Egypt, Russia, China, you name it, England. Oh, England, I guess. I mean, we get...
Scotland. Don't forget Scotland.
We've personally gotten in the mail appeals from Harris and Trump to be on their team. I mean, they're both wooing us. It shows their picture and their signature and everything.
Maybe we'll do one of each. You can be on Trump's team and I'll be on Kamala's.
Well, vice versa. But the idea that, and the very idea,
I don't think,
another Biden statement.
The very idea.
What is deemed as popularity in the astral realm? I mean, are there actually popular spirits in the astral realm? Are there heroes? Are there anti-heroes? Do spirits have an identity? Do a lot of spirits know a lot of spirits by recognizing them? It's true. They do. There is an identity syndrome in the astral realm that is parallel to just spirit form. So there is an identity factor there. And yes, in that regard, there's a factor of being known and unknown. Even I think there's a biblical passage. I know you shouted out my name many times, but I don't know you. We don't know you. See? And that would be considered that a soul was talking to a high spiritual figure, but we don't know you. So the idea that there is an identity recognizable energy in the astral realm, or if you want to call it, yes, that's absolutely true. When people say, "Oh, I'll ask my guide," well, that is an identification factor. So a guide has an identity. He may not have a name, or she may have a name, or it may not have a name, but it's still the factor of being a guide encompasses the factor of being a spiritual guide.
And having a presence in the astral realm that has some significance or importance. I mean, you're talking about popularity in the astral realm. Obviously, there are demons in the astral realm. There are low spirits in the astral realm. There are angels in the astral realm. You can classify them all in many different, many different forms occupy the astral realm.
Well, apparently there are gods in the astral realm too, unless they become like one of us. That was in Genesis. It was one of us. How many gods are there out there? But
this is the big question. It leads to the question of really how our planet was formed and what kind of God created our planet and who is the ultimate superior God.
In the Rook translation, I am the Lord thy God. If he was the only God, he wouldn't have to say I. I is in contrast to we. You, of the pronoun. You don't need to say I if you're the only one. I mean, maybe it was a matter of linguistics or something. But there is no concept of I unless there's a concept of other, unless I is complete within itself. Then you could argue the case that God is complete within him herself. it's there's a totality there. But then there's a contradiction, because in the same chapter, unless, you know, Adam and Eve become like one of us and eats of the tree of life and become like one of us, like one of us. So there's a contradiction. You can't have one and you can't have us. So the idea of that rough translation, unless it becomes one of us, I am the Lord thy God. It's all very confusing. I mean, to pick apart the most people say, well, just skip it. It's faith. It was a rough translation. You're getting off the topic of what the real true meaning of God is.
Well,
but you know, it's still, and the word was with God. Well, there seem to be a lot of contradictions. It has nothing to do with belief. Belief is what you own.
Right, but you know.
That you own belief. But logic is another thing.
Yeah, and I think logic needs to be applied to the Bible. I do think logic needs to be applied to the Bible, not just blind faith. And then if we go back to prior to the Bible, the war in heaven, and God and Lucifer, who was his favorite, his very favorite angel, getting into a battle where he casts Lucifer out of this celestial realm and then creates this earth with Lucifer being Satan and having free reign over the earth. So what's that about?
Well,
what kind of superior, I want to just finish my point, what kind of all-loving superior God would allow a demon, a devil, to have free reign over the earth that he creates for humankind?
It's sort of paradoxical. It's sort of, I mean, how do you have a war in heaven?
Right, exactly, because it's right, exactly. How do you have a war in heaven? And what is heaven? Does the Bible define what heaven is truly?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think it's the Bible really defines heaven. There would be no war. So it's an area of the astral realm.
There are some scholars
who
believe that the Bible is compiled by original existing myths, and they're all kind of put into a concept of the creation. But having a war in heaven seems to contradict the very concept of what heaven is. And if it can happen once, it can happen again. I mean, how do you have a war in heaven? You know, unless the whole thing was set up and designed for our earthly brains to try to understand the contrast between good and evil and how we became offset by being disobedient. And we carry the seeds of Satan, or Lucifer, or the serpent in us. So now, you know, we're a disobedient classification of existence, and we're all born in sin.
Well, and we're stamped with a birth date. We're stamped with a birth date, which carries its own duality.
And gives us a reason to get paid.
but I mean, really, I mean, you know, then we start looking at the birth date in our estimation of how birth date is defined, you know, karma, transcendence, what the numbers mean. It's just, you know, why are there numbers in heaven? No.
Well, there's numbers in the book,
but
in the Bible.
There's numbers in the Bible, but I'm talking about heaven. I'm not talking
about...
Well,
they talk about multitudes.
I mean, there's some idea. No. I'm not saying that. Yes, they talk about that in the Bible. But what I'm saying is, when we ultimately transcend to the essence of spirit, there aren't any numbers. When we've rid ourselves of all our karma, are we dealing with numbers up in the real heaven where there's going to be no wars? There's not going to be wars in a heaven that is actually... heaven.
No, I mean it's
it's singularly,
again, another
paradox. Positive.
You know, if you have eternity, you don't need any system of numbers. You just have zero. You just have completeness. There's no sense in counting anymore. It loses its meaning. But physicists and scientists will tell you that numbers do exist outside of the universe. that our whole existence is based on numbers and statistics and calculations. That's how we determine the origin of existence, is by numbers. So it's hard to compromise the spiritual mind from the scientific mind and still come out with some sensible, plausible agreement as to what it all really means. One is based on scientific data, empirical evidence and proof and things like that, formulas. The other is based on words and faith and belief. Well, scientists has nothing to do with words,
faith and belief.
It's fine, you know, for the cover of the book, but you're not going to find that material within the book unless you have some transcendent scientist that is going to try to conceptualize God in the universe and give it some sort of elaborate language to adhere to some sense that there's a higher consciousness going on. And sometimes that's how you refer to God.
Okay.
But still, for our purpose, our higher consciousness in this show is Blog Talk Radio. We wouldn't be here without Blog Talk Radio. So in our world, Blog Talk Radio is our creator.
We worship, we have a shrine to Blog Talk Radio,
yeah,
and we worship every day.
Yeah, it's absolutely true, and we worship them, they charge us with the fee.
We have icons of all the little workers that we text in the help chat box.
Yeah, and they all float in the bathtub. You know. So we're going to wrap up now.
Yeah, we're back on the air Friday. I have to schedule that show. I think we're on at 9 a.m. Blah, blah, blah. That's it. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Jennifer, for your participation today. We always appreciate your presence. And she says you tithe regularly. Yeah, we tithe to Blog Talk Radio. That's certainly true. Anyway, we're off to our other activities of the day.
Yeah, we're going to go see the wizard.
Bye-bye, everybody.